Good morning. I think that most of you who know me, maybe those of you who have had the time to get to know me here, and obviously you just look at me, know that I am just screaming out patience. It should be very obvious to see the amount of patience that I have. Ryan had one verse to read, so I couldn't wait to get up here. Okay. Quite obviously, I don't have a whole lot of patience. I have patience for some things, but not for all things. And a lot of times, the patience I don't have comes out when it shouldn't. I had a friend at work made up a joke for me that my kids will know, but please respond, and I hope all of you know the knock-knock joke thing. I'm not going to coach you through it, but I really hope you know how to respond when I do this. So, knock, knock. Impatient cow. Moo! All right. Now, some of you didn't get that. I'm sorry. Woo! You know. Do we have patience for all people? 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient towards all men. Now for me, it is much, much easier to be patient with someone who doesn't know but is willing to learn. More so than someone who says they know and won't listen. I've got AAU boys now for basketball and for football this year, which was an experience. But during basketball, we have those who are there that already know how to play the game. There are those that think they know how to play the game and are willing to show you at the first opportunity, anytime they can. Give the ball. Quick as they can do it. And there's those that don't know, but really just want to be part of it and learn to get better. And I have an easier time with the kids who don't know but just want to be part of it than I do with those kids that think they already know how to play the game and they should be running the show instead of me. Now, I am not better than all of them, sadly, at this point. But in sixth grade or in fifth grade, I still know more than they do at this point. Now, that might not last long. The reason it's easier to deal with somebody who doesn't know how to do it and wants to learn it is that at some point they get it. Now, I don't know what that point is. It's different for everybody in here. But at some point, when you're being taught something, all of a sudden that light bulb goes on. And you go, I finally got it. Now, with math and me, that never happened. Never. You know, with English, it worked pretty easy. But the rest of it was a struggle. The reason it's easy is because you can see how happy it makes people to get it. You know, to understand what maybe everybody else in the room had at their grasp, you understand that. You understand it just like they do. Everybody gets it and it's just a neat thing, because that's when things start to happen. I really struggle with those who know how to do it and don't care. People that are blessed with gifts, people that are given these things. I went to school with, honestly, one of the most gifted athletes that I've ever known. This is a small school. He won state in track, was second in high jump, and he was barely 6 feet tall. He was a hurdler, a high hurdler. Just ran like none other. It was so easy for him. He did everything. He was a wrestler until his freshman year in high school. When he decided to play basketball, he made the varsity team. There were a lot of boys at that point, and to make the varsity squad after never playing the sport is really something. His brother went on to be an NFL offensive lineman. So, I mean, the genes were there. He gifted. As a halfback, he was somebody that could get around the outside, and when somebody came close to him, he had just an extra gear, maybe at full speed, to leave him. And that's a gift. Now, that's a physical gift that you have been given from God that allowed you that extra gear just to pass somebody. He was intelligent. School came easy for him. Didn't really have to study. You know, I could remember things at a glance. Didn't have to open the book more than once if he wanted to. His problem was that he didn't want to. He wasted it. He fell into some other things that took him away from school and other problems that had been that affected his attitude and the way he handled things, and it drug him completely to the other side. And I haven't seen him for 20 years, and I don't think that his life is turning out quite the way he thinks it should have from just the things I've heard on the outside. People that understand and are slow to apply the knowledge, very upsetting. Okay, I have a class of salesmen that we teach learning your competition and ways to figure out who the competition is. People that aren't willing to, when they know, and this is a very informal setting, and they can just speak up at any point. You know, it's a group of 6 to 10, and you can just say it. You know, if you know how to do something, it's okay in this room because, you know, the questions are directed at you to answer. They won't do it. Or if they know it, they're not willing to tell anybody else that doesn't understand how to do it. You know, if you know how to tie your shoes and you're sitting next to somebody that doesn't know how, and they want to learn, would it hurt you to say, look, it really doesn't. You know, share that knowledge. Okay, and the same thing goes here. If you know things, it's okay to speak up. You know, it's okay to speak up. Nobody will belittle you for speaking. That's the best thing about a group like this. The second thing is that they will belittle those who do know and are trying to share. Do you know anybody like that? You sit in a group, someone might know the most sitting in the back, someone with enough knowledge to answer the question sits in front. Oop, we okay there? She all right? Okay. Yeah, it was bad. Scared me from up here. Had to scare her. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get past that now. And James 1, 3 and 4, knowing this, that trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Do your expectations of the way, holy smokes, of the way things are going, do your expectations of the way things are going outweigh the things that actually happen? Do the results that you get outweigh what you expect? Now, I can tell you that I was, at one point, an athlete. I never had trouble playing basketball, never had trouble playing football. I might not have been the greatest, but I could do it. I could play, it just came pretty easy. So, about 12 years ago, I started selling food, and for joy at work, they let us go to these golf outings. Now, in baseball, when you walk up, I had a coach that told me to take your best swing every time. To me, that meant swing. Don't wait for the ball. Swing. You ask my kids, I expect them to take a rip at it. I don't want to see this. You know, we could bunt. I want to take a rip. So in golf, the first thing I did was I got good hand-eye coordination. I know I can hit the ball. I step up, get ready to go. I do what I see the other guy doing. No idea. I reach back, I swing as hard as I can, ball went 6 feet, I walked up to it and swung again. Playing, I think golf is one of the great equalizers in this world, quite frankly. Where the smallest guy standing beside you can just make you look like a fool. Golf. Do other people's successes. It infuriated me that whole day that little guy, that guy that weighed 115 pounds, was out driving me, was out chipping me, was out putting me, all the way around. Can't understand why I can't play. But do your expectations outweigh the results, your success? Do you feel when you fall short that it's easier to quit? I hope that none of you feel that just by doing it once and failing, it's easier for you to not do it. What a shame that is, if you feel that way. Because you shouldn't. To try something and fail is nothing. It just means you need to get back up and do it again. Because you're going to learn from that failure. Edison and the light bulb, we all know that. His theory was that every time he failed, he got closer to finding the answer. So by trying something, by speaking up and just being out there, you know, maybe the next time your thought will be right on. You know, don't let one small misstep, mishap, horrible swing, whatever it is, don't let that back you down. 1 Peter 2:20. Ah, good, we're all right. For what glory is it when ye have buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. But if ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable to God. God doesn't want you to quit. All right, doesn't want you to stop the first try. And I would tell you that if you have kids in anything they're involved, that you don't let them stop after the first time. You know, because sometimes it takes more than once to get it. All right? Adults, sometimes it takes more than once to get it. All right? Just because you've grown up does not make things happen easier. It does make it sometimes easier to stop. I discovered a couple years ago that it was worthless for me to go in on Thursday nights to the gym and play basketball with the 20-year-old guys. One is I could barely walk for the next 3 days. And after that first game, I just wanted to go home. It was horrible. Get me out of here. It didn't happen fast enough. Now, I also have this story. And if I've told it before, because my wife and I couldn't decide whether I had or not, please forgive me, but I'm going to tell it again. And there is we now have a website, thank you to Mark and Junior, that is up, and there's a video of my son, Jake. In that, there's some musical background to that. Now, I had planned the story out before I actually heard this song, so with that, it's a song called The Greatest. I'm not going to sing. In this song, it's about what it is. It's about a boy with a bat and a ball out in the middle of the field by himself. The boy takes the standing out there and says, "I am the greatest hitter of all time." Have I told it? "I am the greatest hitter of all time." He walks out, flips the ball up, swings. The ball hits the ground. Strike one. That's right. Just get loose. Kid shakes his shoulders off. Flips that ball up. Takes a mighty swing. Funk. Strike two. All right, so we got three. It's all right. "I am the greatest hitter of all time." Stands up. Boy flips that ball in the air. Takes another mighty swing. Funk. Ball hits the ground. Strike three. Looks at that ball on the ground. Steps back. "I am the greatest pitcher of all time." As Christians, do we persevere there? Romans 5:3. "And not only so, but glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." How many times do we read of people getting through? We study here about it a lot. People getting through tough times, persevering through really unbelievable situations. Do we remember the stories here? Or do we remember the things that happen in the world? Now, very easy to, I don't know, for me, you know, Michael Jordan got cut from his sophomore basketball team. And Michael Jordan, if you don't know who Michael Jordan is one of the greatest basketball players of all time. Really was. Do things with the basketball, just amazing. Got cut when he's a sophomore. But yet, he went out the next year, didn't stop practicing. You know, blah, 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 now he's Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was never stoned because he got cut from the basketball team. Michael Jordan was never beat because he got cut from the basketball team. Yeah, we remember Michael Jordan, and a lot of times we don't remember Paul. That's an example. You know, we don't remember Thomas getting stoned, you know. Okay, John the Baptist being beheaded for his beliefs. Not just simply falling off, but for his beliefs. And these gentlemen went on. In Ephesians 6:18, praying always with prayer and supplication and in spirit and watching thereunto wish all with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Do you find yourself being concerned with the acts of others? You know, I was talking about seeing things happen around me and not being very patient. We have training sessions that once in a while we're required to go to, and they fly us out to a place and we're with a big group of people that we don't know, and they throw us into the middle of it. And what their goal is there is for you to share your life with these complete strangers. Now, that's not in me to do that. It's really not. I have no trouble meeting people I don't know, but I'm not going to sit down and tell you every little intimate detail of my life just because. That's not me. That's just, I can't do it. At every one of these sales events, now, they always tell you it's a reward that they send you these. I would just soon be home with my family, to be very honest. But they send you out there, you always have the one person in class, man or woman, that is in charge, that wants to be in charge. Not the teacher of the class, but the person that, you know, they speak up, we did it this way, I did it this way. You know, they can't wait to tell you all the great things that they've done. Now, this is every single class I've ever been involved in. I don't think it's been me to this point, but no one's ever told me about it. We have had 4 days. And in that time, you're with these people constantly. With the exception of your own room where you sleep at night, you're with these people constantly. This one guy spoke up at every chance. Couldn't wait to give his opinion. Just couldn't wait. And spoke at every opportunity. And sometimes not at an opportunity. He'd just speak anyway. Belted it out. It's driving me crazy. And I'm forming an opinion in my head. I haven't talked to him yet. Forming this opinion in my head, I'm just sitting there going, I can't believe it. All week. It's going to be like this. I'm going to have to listen to this guy. He's going to drive me crazy every time he opens his mouth. Going back and forth to the training facility, to the hotel, and out to dinner, and back to the hotel. We all took a bus. And I sat across from him, and in the morning, every morning, we'd take that bus ride. He'd call in and talk to his kids. Just, he had three little kids, and he'd talk to them before they went to school, and he'd talk to his wife. And on the way back, he'd see how their day was. He'd do the same thing. And as we're sitting there, I'm listening and talk to his kids, and you know, he was a good guy. He was a good guy. And they make you switch, you know, so you don't sit with the same people each meeting. And I ended up beside him, and you know, we had to do a group exercise, and he was a lot different than what I had seen. You know, he was very knowledgeable, really had a great love for his family. And as we were sitting there, I said, I said, I owe you an apology. I said, at the beginning of this week, I thought you were going to tick me off every time you opened your mouth. I said, I really did. I just was hoping that you would, you know, cramp up. And he says, you know, but you know, it's completely the opposite of that. I said, sitting across from you on the bus and listening to you, you know, eavesdropping while you talk to your kids, you know, that really impressed me. And I said, we're in that situation, you know, where not everybody enjoys their family. You know, it's kind of an individualistic job. And if you let it take you over, it's pretty easy to have the focus on you. Excuse me. But I said, I want to tell you that I really enjoyed you this week. And I said, as the week's gone on, I appreciated just kind of talking to you. He said, you know, I get that a lot. So it didn't faze him at all. He says, you know, I can't just not say it if I know it. He said, it bugs me. Now, going into this, being in this meeting, you know, it's really to no advantage to anyone, but people that speak out sometimes really want to make their knowledge known or want to step up and be seen, to me, that really seems like a brown nose. All right, I have a hard time with that. I think action should speak louder than words, and I'd rather see you being great than you tell me that you're being great. I guess the easiest way to say it. And that's really the way I approach it. In 2 Timothy 3:10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Irregardless of how sometimes you see people and how you address them, you need to continue in God's way. Now, I really think someone's with me there, because had I written this guy off for the week, I would never have gotten the chance to know him. And that really would have been a shame, because he was a good guy. And since then, we've emailed back and forth, you know, through work and stuff, and he's had great answers and just said some kind of fun things. And it was an absolute treat to get to know him. And that's one of those things that just came along for me not being able to carry out my judgment. Continuing in God's way, that week I was homesick. I wanted to be back home. And I prayed a lot that week, and I really think maybe I got a little help along the way. So continuing in God's way is very important, and always make sure that that's first, to continue in God's way. Try to teach the kids that it's best to, you know, I said I'd rather see the act of being great than hear about it. Try and teach the kids to go that way. You know, now they're involved in athletics and in school. And you're always going to have someone that is the, I don't know. Well, see, the only easiest way to say it is the pet. You know, and that's not intentional, but in sports and in a small school situation, it's a lot of times a happening thing that somebody that's nicest to or most pleasant to the coach and agrees to everything that happens is going to be one of their favorites. All right, and this is coming from my dad was a teacher. All right, my dad was a coach, so it's coming from knowledge. And I know that, you know, a lot of times the coach's kids play. But, you know, if the coach is good, the reason the kids play because is they're good. Because they've learned how to play. All right, the right way. And they play the way the coach likes it because he taught them. So that's a lot of the way that happens. But there's always somebody that stands out to you as maybe getting a little more favor. What do you do about those people? Nobody's piping right up. You know, that continues every stage of your life. You're going to have that. The people you see as being favored. Do you worry about that? Do you worry about them being favored? Does it benefit you from worrying about them being favored? It doesn't. You can't do anything about it. And they might not be being favored. Maybe it's just how you perceive it. But either way, you have to go on. You have to go on in the Christian way and keep trying and striving until you finally get to the place where you feel that you're doing your best. If you're doing your best and not being noticed, that's all you can do. It can't go beyond that. As long as you continue to strive to be better. James 5:11. Behold, we count them happy which endure ye, have heard of the patience of Job and seen the end of the Lord. That the Lord is very pitiful of tender mercy. Patient and giving of tender mercy was the way it was worded in another Bible. Are you blessed to persevere? Does getting through something tough help you? You know, you've heard that which doesn't kill me makes me stronger. I don't always agree with that. But I think to keep going in the face of problem, in the face of something against you, is a very strong thing. I think that makes you stronger. I think it makes you a stronger person. We have the pain of life. And we do have the pain of life. You know, Lowell was up here talking about Mark leading songs after Pat died. You know, they were still here. You know, they came to church. You know, we've had others with loss in this congregation that have continued to be at church. You know, that's perseverance. You know, because death, very honestly, is an event in life that can't be stopped. And it is an event in life that can sometimes change you for the worst. It can make you bitter. And in some cases, it takes you away from what God gives you. You didn't see that with this family. And I'm part of that, in that family. But you didn't see that happen. You know, others of you have had loss. Since we've been here, you continue to be here. You continue to be here maybe because it gives you strength, maybe because it's just your idea of what God wants from you. And it is what God wants from you. He wants you to come. He wants you to be strong and be here. All right? Those that see death in a Christian life, you always worry and hurt for the loss of the one that you love going away. But the hope of being able to see them has to be part of what's bringing you back. The possibility that, you know, I know it doesn't say in heaven that we will know the people that are around us. It doesn't say that clearly. In my heart and soul, I believe that. You know, I truly do. And it has to be what keeps you coming. To persevere through pain. Get knocked down and get back up. I talked about AAU football and my son Jake. First game, this kid came across and dumped him. He just rolled. Got tears in his eyes. I didn't even look at him. But he got back up and went back to his spot, kind of sniffling or whatever he's doing. I don't have a whole lot of pity. But because of that, you get a little tougher. Okay, I'm not going to get knocked down. I'm going to learn to get out of that kid's way next time he comes. You know, maybe if you learn nothing, you just learn to move. It's not bad. You can't let your passion for something be stifled because something bad happens in it. If you're a member of this church and you are coming forward and you are love to be here and something bad happens in the way, there's still a reason to keep coming. You cannot let your passion be stifled. You can't let it be stifled by the opinions of others. You can't let your passion be stifled by anyone. The Bible says to cleanse your hands and purify your heart. Walk away from the misgivings. Went to school with a kid who, great kid, had a high laugh, very high laugh, way up there. All right, it was the most distinct laugh I've ever heard. And every time he did it, it was a true laugh. I mean, he meant it. But somewhere along the line, someone made fun of him for that high laugh. And he stopped doing it. You know, he stopped laughing. Started worrying about the way people heard it and the people that did hear it. And because of that, his attitude changed. You know, he wasn't the pleasant kid that he was. He started to get into things that he shouldn't have. He started to walk away from things all because somebody thought that his laugh was stupid sounding. You know why? To this day, he doesn't do that laugh anymore. And up until the 10th grade in high school, he was a student. He was in chorus, he sang, he was in band. And he was good at all those. Somebody making fun of him and driving him down, he let that get inside him and let it ruin him. No more strong laugh. I heard someone criticize me in open forum about smiling. Smiling! Are you kidding? I smile too much. That's too bad. Everybody doesn't like me. That's going to hurt. Yeah, you know, smiling too much. People will pick at anything that they deem as a weakness in themselves to go at you. All right? I do worry about the opinions of others. But I worry about the opinions of others that I care about. Of those I don't really worry about or that are outside, it doesn't affect me. Please don't let someone's opinion from the outside, and outside, when I say outside, I mean outside the faith, someone that doesn't care enough for you to give you constructive criticism. Okay, if you don't like the way I move up here or something about that, you're welcome to tell me. You know, maybe I spit when I talk. I don't know. You're welcome to tell me that. All right, I would tell you that 100 times out of 100. It's okay. You know, criticism doesn't hurt my feelings when it comes from somebody that cares. All right, but you can't take outside or negative criticism ruin your life. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight. lay hold of eternal life, where unto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Knowing that we have patience and to persevere. Okay, sometimes things happen in life that cause you a time where you need patience. Loss is one of those times when you need to persevere. And you need to have patience. Because God always answers the prayers. But God answers them in His time. And sometimes when He answers them in His time, is really when the patience needs to come. It's not always waiting on the answers. It's waiting to get through the answers. You know, through that pain, through the answer that you've been given. And to persevere out the other side so that you can someday be with Him in heaven and rejoice with Him. At the end of every service, we give a gospel invitation. And what that's for is for us to help you if you need help, or for you to become one of the members here and step into a new life with Christ. We offer that invitation now as we stand for the last song.